Welcome to the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast, hosted by myself, Emma, and my wonderful friend, Becca. This podcast is dedicated to parents-to-be and new families in the East Surrey area, providing a wealth of knowledge and support through the exciting journey of pregnancy and birth.
Join us as we discuss everything from prenatal care and childbirth education to navigating the challenges of life with a new baby. We'll be joined by guest expert speakers, including midwives, doulas, breastfeeding experts, nutritionists and more, who will share their insights and expertise to help you make informed decisions and feel confident in your choices.
Whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast has something for everyone. With a focus on empowering parents, we will help you feel calm, confident and supported through your pregnancy and birth journey. So tune in and get ready to be inspired.
So hi Emma, how are you today?
Okay, thank you Becca, how are you?
Good, so very excitingly, we've got a very exciting guest on today. We have got the home birth team who are going to talk all about the home birth and what are the benefits and what to expect from a home birth. So very excitingly, we're going to give it over for them to introduce themselves and take it away.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon. So you've got here Sarah and Sarah. We're both home birth team, SASH home birth team. I'm Sarah Taylor and my colleague next to me is
Sarah Woolard,
who is
home birth team
lead. She's a home birth team lead. So she sort of sorts us all out when she can. We're very pleased to be here and getting our word out there that home births are the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hello, Sarah and Sarah. thank you so much for joining us today. I guess, should we start with saying, tell us about home birth.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Shall I start?
You start.
So 10 years ago, so we celebrated our 10-year anniversary in the October just gone. There's not very many of us. There's nine of us. And we cover the service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we do that with a lot of on-call hours. And if we have to do extra shifts, we all do to try and get out to births if we have multiple births going on. Because we're all very passionate about it and we all try and keep our women at home, in a safe environment. And we hate it when people have to go into hospital because we haven't been able to provide a service because we've been with somebody else.
Yeah.
We add to that.
Well, I suppose you've talked a lot about how passionate you guys are about home birth and how amazing it is. For a lot of families I come across, there's a real kind of misconception of, oh, well, this is my first baby, so I'll do that at the hospital. And if that goes well, maybe next time we would consider a home birth. So maybe you could tell us more about what are the benefits of home birth? Why should families consider one?
So probably the biggest benefit of a home birth, I mean, to be honest, there are people that should be thinking that where is the right place for them to have their baby because if they've got serious medical conditions, it probably is safer for them to be in hospital. But the majority of women at home is where they are going to, is where they feel safe. It's a comfortable environment. This all, I mean, it sounds like a cliche about, oh, the hormones flow, etc. But they do when you are in a place that you feel safe. Therefore, we find a lot of people actually do very well at home. It doesn't matter which baby it is. It doesn't matter which your first baby or subsequent babies. Women just do much, much better when they're at home. And I mean, the big thing being with home birth is that what we tell women is, if you feel comfortable in that environment, you're going to do well. If you don't feel comfortable, then we can just come with you into the hospital if that's where you're going to feel more comfortable. It's not a hard and fast rule about where you should have your baby, but the majority of people we find do exceptionally well at home because that is where they feel comfortable.
So when you're in the early stages of labour, you have these big highs of oxytocin. And quite often when people come into the hospital, they come in and you can literally see for about an hour, maybe 2 hours, their surges go off.
Yeah. How many times have you heard that? It all stopped when
and I went. And they try and convince us that they were having surges. We know they were, and we know they've been interrupted, and they do eventually come back. Some people it doesn't happen to, but a lot of people it does happen to. Even when we go to homes at home, you know, when they, if they haven't met one of us before, or they're just feeling a bit like they shouldn't have called us because it's too early, sometimes their surges go off, but it's usually not for as long. It's literally about 5 or 10 minutes. Until and they, once they feel comfortable with us, they come flooding back and it's all go.
Yeah.
It's so common. I mean, me and Emma hear this so much, don't we? From people we speak to, it's that you're at home, you're comfortable, you're surrounded by all the things that, you know, that you love, and as soon as you move to hospital, it's so common for that fright and flight to kick in, the adrenaline to kick in, thinking this is the, you know, we've changed environment, this now feels very clinical, oh, it's all about to happen, and it's so common that suddenly surges, like you say, stop happening. And you know, we hear that a lot. I think probably the majority of women, when they have to move, it happens at some point in the labour. It happens to most women. So
it's not to be able to move. It's the partners as well, because the partners feel much more relaxed when they're still at home. Like if you go into hospital, you've got a partner who literally feels completely
out of debt.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So if they're still at home, they feel much more. So they then give the support to their partner, and things just work better.
That's a very good point, actually, isn't it? A very good point, because I suppose the partner's going to be heightened if they think, oh, I've got to get in the car, got to get her there, find the best route to take her, then they've got to sort of try and help her when they get to the room. And so yeah, that's a very good point for the birth partner as well, actually.
They're trying to juggle bags, they're trying to find where they've got to go, they're worried that the water's going to go in their car, they're worried and it's also the other children you have to consider, because we always say to our women, we don't mind if the children are there, it's absolutely fine, we want them to choose what's best for them. You know, some people, they need their children with them for that big surge of oxytocin. Mm-hmm. Other women don't want their children there, and that's fine. We'll go with anything. We've been, you know, I've had children that I've been reading stories to while the mother's with the other midwife. Oh. I've taken some dog out for a walk because she needed to go out. And, you know, she was in the throes of, you know, not needing us because she was pushing, but she was having support from the other midwife. Mm-hmm. We do all sorts of things.
I had one partner saying to me once, when I said to him, you know, how did you feel? And he said, I felt like the king of my castle, being at home.
Yes, amazing.
Yeah, safety for women, but it feels safe for men. Yeah, you feel more in control of, like,
because you know,
you're the expert in your partner.
And also, you know, it's your home, so you know where everything is, and you know, if she needs this or needs this, I know exactly what to do. Whereas in hospital, they've got no control of that. They, you know, so it's that control
aspect. They can eat what they want. They can drink what they want. They haven't got, you know, some limited stocked fridge with some soggy sandwiches in.
In the hospital, they're sitting in a corner somewhere because they feel like they don't know what they're supposed to do. And it's, they're very involved. I mean, we do involve them a lot. We encourage them to be very, very hands-on, and if that's what they want to do.
Well, we've had stories recently, haven't we, where the mum's gone, oh, I really fancy a McDonald's or something, and the partner's gone, okay, I'll go up to McDonald's and get you a burger or whatever. So it's that
home comforts,
isn't it? Exactly.
Now you've got delivery, so they don't even have to go out.
That's very true. So how does it work if you've got a family that are interested in home birth? When do they need to make that decision by? What do they need to do?
When do you go with this one?
Well, they've got a mum is pregnant for effectively 40 weeks. So she's got 40 weeks decision. To make that decision. She doesn't have to make that decision at any point. Obviously, the earlier, the better. We tend to take referrals from 28 weeks.
Okay. Right, okay. Yeah.
Well, before 28, because we want to see them at 28 weeks.
Yeah.
Ideally.
So, and hopefully that will change as well. Hopefully we'll start taking earlier and earlier. But at the moment, that's the situation. So referral as early as possible. And ideally, all the community midwives should be asking women where would their choice of place of birth be from the time so that they can start thinking about it. And they should also be planting the seed that may, you know, maybe home birth might be a good thing. But a lot of, we have a lot of our women that say, I never even thought about it until. And then, so we can effectively take, we'll see anyone then, there is, like I said, if there is sort of serious medical conditions, that it probably does need to be thought about how we can work that. But effectively, we don't not see, we'll accept anybody onto our books, but we do need to look at a risk assessment.
So our scheduled appointments, so we first of all, ideally would like to see them at 28 weeks, and that is in a clinic. So we have a clinic at East Surrey on a Friday for Surrey-based women, and we have a clinic on Saturday. It's Horsham on a Saturday morning and Crawley on a Saturday afternoon. And we see women for their first appointment in the clinic. And sometimes we have to take bloods, or they might have already been taken at that stage, because that's the second lot of bloods you would have had taken in pregnancy. That's to check things like your iron level, to check that your, you know, your iron levels are sufficient for labouring, and that you've got a little bit in reserve, really, so you don't feel bad afterwards. And then after that, we would have made an appointment to see you at home around about 31 weeks. And that is for what we call a home birth risk assessment, which sounds very technical, but it's not really. It's looking firstly to see if we can find the property, because they're not all in streets numbered nicely. Some of them are down little dark lanes. And so we make sure that we've got
find during the day, but at night time.
I was trying to find a house this week in the dark where somebody had said it's got a green front door and it was pitch black and there was no set back off the road, so you couldn't see what colour the front door was. Anyway, we use an app called What Three Words, which is what the ambulance service use, and it pinpoints an address using three words, so that's what we mainly use. So, and we also look at things like, is the house numbered? Is there a access? Is there any access issues? So if we had to get you out on a stretcher, are we able to get you downstairs, up drives? Is it tricky? So we're looking at all things like that.
Everything that keep you safe.
So we want to know that we've foreplanned it rather than panicking on the day that we can't do that. We then look at stuff like, you know, have you got heating? Can we warm stuff? If it's a cold house, can we warm it quickly? If you're going to have a pool, where you're going to have that pool? Because we have had people that would like pools in flats where they're converted flats and actually the rafters don't take the weight of a pool. So occasionally we look at things like that.
Is there room for two midwives in the room as well as the pool?
Is there any animals are going to be there? Are they friendly? Are they going to eat us? Or
actually, we're all very, very animal friendly. If you haven't got any dogs, we don't come out to you.
So we look at all stuff like that, and then we go through things with the family. Ideally, we have both of the partners there, both people there, and we go through things like, if you transfer to hospital, the reasons we would consider transferring you to hospital, how we would transfer you to hospital, what situations we can deal with at home. So it's a really thorough risk assessment, and at that appointment we also do your physical 31 week check as well, your antenatal appointment. We then see you following that. We then see you. And by that time, you're then sort of under our care. Obviously, you can change your mind, but most people don't want to. And then at 34 weeks, we see you in one of our clinics again. And then we come to your home again at 36 weeks. And that is a birth preferences. So we go through, most people have their pool by then, if they're going to have a pool. Or if they haven't, we talk about other methods of, you know, helping you in labour. Anything that they want us to know about, take note then.
Preparing by then, 36 weeks, obviously you're almost term, making sure they're ready, they're not sure about, and that's when we talk about things like how they call us and things like making sure they know who to contact, when to contact, that sort of thing. That we go over that again at 36 weeks.
And then again, we do the 36-week antenatal check. And then we will see them at 38 weeks, 40, 41, all in our clinic. Hopefully not after 41, but sometimes we do. And we will see people as and when they need us. So if they needed us, I don't know, at home, we'll go and do a home visit. If they can fit into a clinic, we'll fit into a clinic. It really just depends. And then obviously we go out to them in labour, look after them in labour. There's always two of us. And then following labour, we go back within 24 hours to do saturations on baby, so oxygen saturations, and to do a primary visit. Make sure feed's going okay, whichever way they choose to feed. Make sure that, you know, that mum's okay. And then we will see them, if they don't need to be seen after that visit, we will see them on day 5 at home. And that's something called a Guthrie, which is also known as the heel prick. And weight. We do a reweigh then to see how much weight they've lost and make sure it's not too much. If it is more than we would like, we would then schedule another weigh-in maybe 2 days later and go to them again at home, reweigh baby. And if they don't have any other need beyond 11/12 days, we will discharge them, or day 11 or day 12. Mm-hmm. Some people have more visits if they have a need for more visits, and that's up to 28 days. So once we see them at 28 weeks, we actually build up such a lovely relationship with them.
That was going to be my next point, actually. It sounds like from everything you've just said, that's a real continuity of care, isn't it?
Yeah.
From the point when you see them, from 28 weeks all the way up to that, it's such a lovely, it sort of builds their trust, both of your trusts. You know.
It's very much a team continuity. And the nice thing about that is that when someone actually goes into labour, hopefully you'll have seen somebody that you recognise when we walk through that door.
And
then that safety feeling of being at home and a familiar face walking through the door to you, as opposed
to sometimes the person that's delivered your first and second babies. Often we're going back now to do babies that we've delivered one to, and we're on the third or fourth. It's really nice. And when we come out of there, sometimes it feels like we've been out for the night with, you know, really nice friends. We've had really nice conversation, and you sort of feel like you, and when you get say goodbye to them on day 11 or 12, you don't want to.
It's a real oxytocin boost for you guys as well, really.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's really good, actually, really informative. I guess you've kind of already answered this, but I mean, I think a lot of things we hear from people is like Emma said, oh, it's our first baby, so we better not because of the what ifs. But I guess really, if someone's listening to this who is a first time parent and they're considering it and they're a little bit on the fence, what would you say to sort of say to them? If obviously they've got no medical risk and they're not deemed as high risk, you know, what would you say to first time parents as a way of, you know, not waiting till their second or third, if you know what I mean? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say definitely go for it. The point is there is no point can they not change their mind if they choose to go in. So therefore, give it a go. And if you are at home and you feel you feel you need more pain relief or something like that, we'll just take you in. It's fine.
I think that's the other thing as well, isn't it? People think, oh, once I start the process, I won't be able to move. But actually, they can if they need to, can't they? If they have to.
I was looking after a lady who her blood pressure was just bordering on iffy. So we were with her for a little while and we just kept an eye on it. But it was just rising slightly. We went in with her. We went into the hospital with her. And when she got in there, she got in the pool. Her blood pressure came down and that was where she felt safe. And that's what's most important, is that anyone actually gives birth where they feel most safe. That's very, very rare, to be honest, because usually most people feel safe at home.
Absolutely.
I've had a couple of situations recently where I've been working in the hospital and I've had first time mums come in and they're aren't aware of the home birth team until they see it written on our tops and they're like, oh, I didn't know there was a home birth team. And I say, oh, well, you know, you it's not too late to have one. Technically, you could go home if you're not and we've done that a couple of times, but usually it's too, they're too far along and they don't want to then go home.
And the sad part of that is that they've not developed a relationship with us.
No,
they've been referred. So, I mean, as I say, ideally, it's about raising awareness for all women, as well as all our community midwives, making sure that they're actually, offering the choice.
If you see any of the home birth team in the hospital delivering first babies, literally you can probably wait 2 minutes post delivery and they will say, make sure you book home birth. It's just a standing joke that is what we will say if it's all gone lovely and there's no reason to. We're all about promoting it, trying to get people on our side.
I will say, we discussed this briefly before we started recording, but actually one of the Sarahs did deliver my second in the birth centre, and I am fairly certain your parting words were, next time I'll see you at home, that kind of don't bother coming in, let's just do it at home next time, that kind of thing.
I mean, having said that, I will emphasize that we are very, very firmly on the let's keep this safe, so we do lots and lots of sort of safety watching things, looking at risk assessments and all that sort of thing. It doesn't mean that you can't have your baby at home, it just means we just try to make sure that we can be ready. I mean, we have a lot of mums that have had births where they've had a slightly heavier bleed after the baby's born, and we discuss that with them and we put in place things that we recommend that they should have next time around. It doesn't mean they can't have the home birth next time around, but we are very safety conscious. So
And I suppose as well that accounts for, you know, women that have babies at home and perhaps they do need to go in to have a bit more treatment or a bit more aftercare. It's sort of doing risk assessments for that as well and saying if in the event you did have a slightly heavier bleed or baby needed extra monitoring, it's quite it's an easy process to transfer them to hospital if they have to.
And it's always a conversation. I always say to people when I go and do risk assessments, we don't just suddenly call an ambulance and whisk you off. We talk to you about it. We, you know, we tell you why we feel you should go to hospital. You know, we have some conversation with you and your partner, and then it's it's just a process. It's a process that we go through. If you do have to go to hospital, one of us would go with you, because you're still under our care. We're still responsible for you. So it's not like we shove you in an ambulance and wave goodbye to you. We're still with you.
Do you then stay once they're at the hospital and settled where possible?
If we can, if we can, we do. But sometimes it might be the end of our shift, or it might be that we've got to go to another person. But if we can, we absolutely do. So one of us would we have a dedicated home birth car that has all our kit in with us. One of us would be responsible for getting the car back because it needs to come back to be stocked and ready to go again. And the other person would go with the family in the ambulance at all times.
And I think what's really interesting, I follow all the various Instagram accounts, but one of them where it's got the dashboard that's specifically about home birth, and it kind of breaks down why people have moved to hospital. And I think as an outside perspective, some people might assume that, oh, if people were planning on giving birth and they went to the hospital, that means that something went quote unquote wrong. But actually, when you look at it, a lot of the time it is women just simply wanting a bit more support pain relief wise than is available at home, or really simple non-urgent frightening reasons.
I don't know what, I don't think we actually transfer hardly anybody for pain relief. I don't think that's the thing, is it really?
I mean the big thing is that's what our job is all about, watching, monitoring,
preempting
exactly. So what we're not going to do is wait until something goes disastrously wrong and then say, oh my goodness, we've got to transfer in now. So and that's what Sarah was saying about the fact that we had that conversation, we've got time to have that conversation and say, right, well, we would recommend that for various reasons we can see things evolving here slightly, and we probably would recommend that we do transfer in.
I mean, an example would be, say if we had somebody who was pushing in labour, they're very close to having their baby and their waters go, which quite often happens, But, you know, we can see that things are progressing quickly and there's meconium in the water, which is when the baby's done a poop inside the waters. Yeah. We have to make the decision then whether it's safer to transfer them at that time or to deliver the baby and then suggest the baby is taken into hospital afterwards for observations. Yeah. Because that is part of our guidelines, is that babies have observations following that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't want a baby born in an ambulance or on the driveway going out to the ambulance or on the hospital grounds going into the hospital. So it's all about making a decision mm-hmm. at the time, which yeah. is in the patient's best interest and the baby's best interest. And that happens quite a lot. And that's where we have to be forethinking. And sort of staying on top of it. So, I mean, my mum said to me years ago, oh, do you take your knitting to work with you when you're delivering babies at home? And I'm like, no, mum. I'm looking all the time, I'm watching that woman, you know, and she was like, oh, well, they do call the midwife, you know, they sit there and they knit. And I said, yeah, but that's not real life now. And sadly, it's not real life. So
we do spend time at home sitting,
watching,
looking very calm
yeah.
and just
observing.
Yeah, quietly chatting, but observing.
Yeah. See, the mum may not know that. They think, oh, we're just having a chat, but you're in the background the whole time looking, observing, seeing what's going on.
There's something called the midwifery diagnosis of labour, and this is all about watching how the woman is behaving, how her behaviour is changing, etc. And that
her body language.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That can tell us how, you know, that things are definitely moving on.
Yeah, and what's nice as well is, like you said, it's if you do have to have a conversation, it's all very calm, very, you know, right, this is what we recommend, this is what we should do next. They're not suddenly saying, right, off you go, we better go. Like you said, it's all nice and calm and relaxed to keep her in a calm mindset as well.
And coming from a person that they already have some trust in, like that pre-developed relationship.
Yeah,
hopefully. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I certainly get families come through that are kind of on the fence, and I've often just go, do you know what, just send the home birth team an email or talk to your midwife and have the chat, learn more about it, and they nearly always come back and go, yeah, we've booked on.
We've had several occasions where we've gone out, and quite often it's the partner that's a little bit hesitant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll go and we'll have that conversation. We do strongly recommend that the partners are there at the chat that we have. And how often do we get partners actually changing their mind?
Oh, like 100%.
Yeah.
And then quite often afterwards they just want to shout it from the rooftops.
They do.
We've had we have a Zoom meeting once a month as well, where we send all of our everybody on our caseload, we send them an invitation to chat on the Zoom. And we invite somebody back who's had a baby recently as a home birth. And quite often when you say to them, when you leave them after birth, oh, would you be happy to come on our Zoom? The partner's like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'll just be on there and I'll talk about it. And they're normally lovely. And the funny thing is, most of the time they worry that it's going to be really messy. And they always say, no, it wasn't messy. You wouldn't even know they were there. Blah, blah, blah.
Take a lot of pride in.
We do. We get the right hump if we make a mess.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes it is those little practical things, isn't it? Yeah. What if it makes a mess? You're not just going to walk away and leave a placenta on the sofa or something.
Take our shoes off as we come in and we clear up after ourselves. You know, we even put washing on if there's a need. We'll put the load of towels on when we finished. And
well, if there is a little bloodstone,
we'll wash it.
Exactly.
So the two things that people most worry about, I found over the 10 years I've been doing it, is making a mess and what they're going to do with their other children. That's the two things that, and both of them, you know, I always say to them, you don't need to worry about it. It will work itself out. It always works itself out with your children.
You've got to work out what you're going to do with your other children, no matter where you plan on giving birth. There's got to be some kind of childcare, or if you're at home and they're happy and you're happy, then just being around, or quite frankly, most realistically, sleeping through most of it, I imagine.
Absolutely. But we do have to plan it a bit, because if they have to go to hospital, then obviously, you know, they can't just up the husband or the partner can't just up and go. Somebody has to be there for the children or waiting for somebody to come.
So there's got to be a plan for that, regardless
of where you give birth. You've got to sort out childcare, haven't you?
Yeah. quite often if we do transfer somebody, the midwife who's gone in the ambulance is gone, and the midwife that's responsible for the equipment is in the house clearing away the equipment, you know, sometimes helping the partner do things. And I've had a situation before where I've stayed in the house and the partner's gone to hospital and I've stayed clearing up until the grandparents have got there to take over for the children. And that's fine. They trust us because they know us. They know that we're going to do exactly what we said.
Yeah, because you've built that trust over the months that you've had appointments with them. That's what it's all about, building that trust, isn't it, over that time. And that's lovely. No, that's really, really lovely. And like you said, you know, it's about if people are on the fence, just contact you. Just contact you, have a chat with you, and you know, just take it from there, really.
I mean, they may decide it's not for them, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
The majority do choose to book them, but whatever their choice is, what is the most important thing is that they have a positive birth.
Absolutely,
at the end of the day,
whatever's safe for mum and baby, that's the priority, isn't it, at the end of the day. So but that's all very fascinating. I mean, I remember my nan, when I was having my first child 8 years ago, my nan had a home birth for all four of her children. And one of the first things she said to me was, oh, are you going to have a home birth? But because I didn't know much about it, and it was my first child, I did the typical thing of, oh, no, I better go to hospital because it's my first and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I remember her saying, oh, we all had ours at home. And it's you know, thinking back to that generation, many people did have their babies at home all those years ago, not that long ago. And so you think it's like saying to people, look, you know, let's look into this more because it is. You know, it is safe, you know, in a lot of cases it is safe. And it's going back to that trust and women sort of trusting, isn't it, really trusting themselves, trusting the process, and going back to that sort of era, I suppose. Yeah, that people did used to do.
I suppose if you watch Call the Midwife, which I do, the episode that was on a Sunday, I said to my partner, it's interesting how I think it was probably about the 1970s now, and they were trying to organise tours of the midwifery unit to get people to go to hospital. And they were literally trying to get people out of their houses and going into hospital. And I was watching it thinking, oh, how sad is that? Like, if only that hadn't have happened, we'd still have more of a culture of home births.
See, this all came from some politician. What was his name? Winterton, I think it was. And who said back in 1970 something, he said everyone's got the right to have their baby in hospital, and that everyone now feels that that's where they should be doing it. It doesn't mean that not, you know, yes, everyone should have the right to have baby a baby in hospital if they want to, but it's not really the right place for
but I think baby. Also it was a bit of a, in the 1950s it was seen as a poor option if had a baby at home, you it's because you were poor. Because you couldn't afford to go to a private hospital because there wasn't any private maternity hospital, there wasn't any NHS maternity hospitals. And obviously now lots of people, I mean, I have even my family members say to me, so do you just get is it just like hippies and posh people have their babies at home? And I'm like, no, it's everyone. Absolutely anyone can have their baby at home. It's a choice anyone can take.
It's almost like we need to go sort of do a U-turn again, don't we, and kind of go back.
You have the right to have a home birth.
We've always said that we think people should be booked for home birth first and then they can opt out and go for hospital birth, but I don't think that's going to happen for a long time.
No, but that would be the dream.
It would, wouldn't it? And I guess as well, it all goes back to if a woman's been told, oh, you're high risk, then straight away they're going to go, well, I can't have it at home then. But I guess it's back to that risk evaluation again and say, right, why are you high risk, and is it high risk that you have to be at hospital, or is it high risk that we can actually manage this at your home? And it's that risk evaluation again, isn't it?
And we would encourage people to question things like that. So for example, somebody might be told that they're on a certain medication, so they have to, it's they're too high risk, but actually most medications you could have a home birth, and you know, it's not going to affect it. It's not going to affect it. It will be a case of, do we have to get you seen afterwards immediately, or blah, 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 blah. So there's always questions to be had. And, you know, and luckily, most of the women who choose home births question things and ask questions and they challenge people, and that's what we like. They challenge us, they ask us lots of questions. We don't always know the answers, but we can find it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all back to what we say to people as well. Go use your brains in terms of the acronym brains and sort of look at the benefits and the risks and actually question why you've been told you're high risk or why you've been told you have to do something and actually question it and then make a decision from there.
We're all different ultimately, aren't we? We're all a different puzzle of different backgrounds, histories, medical history, but no guideline perfectly will fit anyone. You've got to ask the questions about you and your circumstance to really feel safe that you are having the right path for your
We spend quite a lot of our time doing personalized care plans for women who have decided to birth at home against advice, whatever that may be, and we go through lots of fors and against with them, and we'll draw up personalized care plans for that person specifically, saying that's what they want to have. And you know, and that's not all of our work, isn't it?
And it's, as I say, it's about keeping people as safe as possible, so whatever meets their particular needs is what we'll learn.
Because at the end of the day, we're two midwives out in a house, sometimes down really, really long windy country lanes. We don't want this to happen, you know, that we have to have an emergency response to, so we try and manage it. As you say, we're ready for it. We all undergo our training regularly. We undergo lots of different stuff like that, different courses we all go on, don't we, and biomechanics courses and all sorts of courses. So it works well, I think.
And what we say to people as well, actually, is when they're looking at what you get at home and what you get in hospital, we often say to people, actually, all the sort of pain relief options you get at hospital, apart from an epidural, you can have at home. You can pretty much have anything at home that you would in a hospital in terms of pain relief. The only one, obviously, is epidural, but otherwise they can have most of pain relief.
Heparin's a bit more difficult now because it has to be prescribed by GPs, and they're being very, very reluctant to do that at the moment. So,
pethidine isn't a pain relief anyway, is it? It doesn't take the pain away. Just alters your mind and makes you very drowsy and sleepy.
It didn't work for me. I tried it with my first and I thought, okay, the pain is still there, but I feel completely out of it. And for me, I didn't like pethidine anyway. Yeah. It didn't agree with me. Some people love it, but for me, I thought this is not actually a pain relief. It's just made me more anxious and more, done the opposite effect.
One of the biggest pain reliefs is being at home.
The reality is being at home, you're much less likely to even cross your mind to think about those other things that you could have been having if you were elsewhere. Yeah.
But I mean, it still goes back to even the pool and the TENS machine and all the gas in it. They're all things that you can still have at home. So
massage,
massage
and a comb. I spend most of my working life massaging people's bottoms. And it works.
It's that nice comfort relief, isn't it, having that nice deep pressure in the back to sort of help
The thing with Entonox is that it's not about the Entonox, it's about the controlling your breathing, and that's it doesn't matter whether you've got Entonox or not Entonox, but you know, it's the back control, and it's about someone guiding you through that, and that's what we do so well at home.
Yeah, going back to the hypnobirthing and doing the breathing and the controlled breathing, which is the same effect, really. It's just calming your mind and your muscles and everything. So it goes back to that.
I think also it's knowing that somebody is with you. You're actually with somebody. That person doesn't leave you. Sometimes hospital, the nature of the job in the hospital is that it's very busy and a midwife can be in and out of the room. You know, they try and spend as much time as they can in the room, but sometimes they just can't because they've maybe got another patient, or they've got to go and triage somebody, or they've got to go and do a fresh eyes or something. At home, you have two midwives and they don't leave you. They are there, you know. They can go into a different room if you're feeling a bit like you don't want them with you all the time. That's fine. But if you need somebody with you, reassuring you, you know, stroking you, massaging you, talking to you, you have somebody there all the time throughout the whole of your labour if you want them.
Yeah, you can really pick and choose how you want that support to look like you said. Yeah, absolutely. If you want to be left alone with privacy, then you're a quiet midwife sitting in the corner quietly watching.
Yeah.
Or if you want someone holding your hand and talking you through your breathing, then you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. that continued support. That's brilliant.
Well, I think that was all of our questions.
I mean, unless there's anything else you'd like to add, I think that's been absolutely brilliant and so informative. So thank you. But is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, the only thing to say is how to get hold of us.
Yes.
So you could ask your community midwife team, when you've decided if you'd like to explore home birth, to refer you to us, and we get an email through with a referral form on it. Or you can go on to the Sasha, which is the sasha@nhs.net, I think.
Yeah,
and there's somebody that answers all those emails, and they will send you our way. Or you can email us direct, and our home birth email is all lowercase, homebirth.homebirth@nhs.net. And if you wanted to see any of our beautiful pictures and amazing birth stories, then please follow us on Instagram, and we are just @homebirth.
We have a lovely Instagram page.
Which we're all responsible for updating. We all put our birth stories on there when people have given us permission to. We put a few statistics on there so you can see our statistics. And really lovely pictures. We love it. We love our Instagram page.
There's some lovely stories on there, really lovely stories. It's lovely.
We'll make sure we leave all those links to wherever people are listening to this, that they can find those easily.
We'll put them in the episode blurb so people could click on them and things. So it's nice and easy for them to get to.
Thank you so much for talking to us. Hopefully there'll be families listening that have opened a little question mark in their head that wasn't there before, that they'll go and explore further and know a lot more about home birth.
We really, really look forward to welcoming you to our home birth family. We love it.
Well, thank you so, so much, ladies. Thank you ever so much. And we'll keep in touch.
Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Bye bye.
Nice to speak to you both.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump to Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you would like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective, www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.